Thank you, Dennis. I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and with the words that we find in Philippians 1, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues and he says, and I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Good morning, everyone. It is a real blessing to see you all here. I'd like to welcome everyone. There is some special people in our congregation here today. We have visitors from La Crete. I know they were already welcomed, but I want to make sure that Joe Froese and his family are here today. Tim and Austin Peters, Trevor and Margaret, there's more here. Dan Giesbrecht and his grandchildren. You know, I have had the blessing of walking into a church on holidays, and when they make you feel welcome, that is a blessing. So to you visitors, welcome. All the regulars, it is good that you have come. May God bless you richly. We just heard this morning that God's word will stand forever. And today, as I opened up, we know Paul, he prayed and he thanked the Lord upon every remembrance of the people at Philippi. And so today I want to look into a short prayer that Paul had for the church at Colossae. And that is my prayer for you. That is my desire as a shepherd of the sheep, that we will be able to obtain that prayer, that God will reveal himself. But we as a people, when I think of God, we are a people that sometimes we, even believers, we turn away from God. We are self-reliant. We enjoy the many blessings of life, and we see in our country, in our land, and not all countries are as fortunate as we are. We have such fullness that we have forgotten God. Very often we forget God. Self-dependence. We depend on ourselves. We think we can do it. And we are proud, or too proud, to pray to God who made us. The text today talks about prayer. And you know, when you talk about prayer, very often people are less interested. It's because we don't need God. We just want to do our own thing. But Paul tells the Colossians and the Ephesians and the Thessalonians what he is praying for them for. And he wrote a letter and he tells them what he's praying. Think of if someone would write you a letter and tell you what they're praying for you for. Now today we have it easy, we do text or emails, we do it that way. And yet, here in that time, letters were a way of communicating. So when I think of Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14, that's my text. It's a prayer. And first I would like us to think, or cause us to think, what is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is telling God our heart, sharing your heart with Him. Prayer is asking God what only God can do and provide. It is also putting ourselves in alignment with the purposes of God. When I think of God, I'm reminded of Psalms 100. And if people would recognize that our life hinges on God, we are His people and the sheep of His pastures. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. That's what you will read in Psalms 100. And so often we turn away from God, we forget about God. Why should we pray? Because it honors God. It tells us, tells God that we need Him, that we worship Him. God has created you and me and has a desire for us to depend on Him and to acknowledge Him in prayer as we receive everything from Him. James 4, verse 4 says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And what better than if God directs our path? And you know, when there's older people here, sitting here, they have followed the Lord for many years, have been faithful to the Lord. When they look back and they see where God has led them. Young people, looking ahead, you don't know where you're going or what life has ahead of you. But God has promised that He will direct your path if you depend on Him. Verse 7 in that same, in Proverbs 3, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8 continues, and we need to hear this, what prayer does. If we acknowledge God, if we go into prayer and acknowledge Him, it shall be health to thy navel, or to your flesh, and marrow to thy bones. It is beautiful. There's more to prayer than meets the eye, than we see. And you know, there's a part of us that doesn't want to pray, because that's the flesh. The flesh wants to be on its own. But we need to die to self. It shall be health to thy flesh and marrow to thy bones. A healthy way to live. Jeremiah tells it so clear that everything was created by His mighty hand, His stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for Him. Coming to the text, I would like to invite you to just pray before we read the text. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence this morning. We thank You that You are God. Lord, I pray that we as a people will humble ourselves and recognize that we need You. Lord, I pray that today as we look into the text, that the text will speak through Your servant, through the Holy Spirit made alive, making a difference in our life. Lord, we commit this morning into Your care. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text, Colossians 1, verse 9, it says, for this cause, it is Paul writing to the Colossians, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. May God bless as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through that text. Paul's prison prayers are amazing when you think of it. To start with, he prays for others and not himself. And we can use these prayers that Paul prayed as a pattern for our prayer life for other people. And we must see that the request in his prayer centers on spiritual blessings and not material or physical things. Now we know that it is not wrong to pray for physical or material things because we depend on him on everything. We know that we can ask him for materials, but the spiritual needs are much more important. And Paul, he prayed for four things. Number one, in verse 9, to know the will of God. How important it is for us to know the will of God. Many people are, even believers, they're wondering, well, what is God's will? For this cause we also, and we need to notice the words, for this cause. For what cause? What he had just talked about in the previous verses. They had, number one, I'm going to just expound on it a little bit. They had heard the gospel, he says. They had believed the gospel. And it produced love for the people. The gospel changed them. And they're sharing it with others. There was fruit. For that cause, because there was a church doing well, a church had heard the gospel, and Jesus was preached, and there was believers there, and that's why he prayed for them. Very often we wait to pray for people when there's trouble. But when they're doing well, no, there was false teachers, but Paul was seeing that they heard the gospel and there was fruit. And he prayed for them, that they would continue to grow. And how desperate we, even the church here in Warman, the local church, and the church throughout the world needs to grow spiritually. And Paul says, because of that, we are praying for you. Paul told the church, continue to grow in that which you have received. Every believer needs to have the knowledge of the will of God. Do you know the will of God? Knowing the will of God is important for believers. The Greek word for translated knowledge carries the meaning of full knowledge. Full knowledge. Now we know there's always more to learn, and that's why Paul was praying that they would increase about God and his will for our lives. And we've never achieved or arrived to the point where we don't learn more. God wants us to know his will. In Acts 22, verse 14, after Saul was struck down with a light, it says, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that thou shouldest know his will. I say that to you today. God has chosen you that you should know his will. and not just know it, but understand it and live it out. Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 17 to 14, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus, he's our example. He said, as he was facing his own death, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He wanted to do the will of the Father. Is our desire to do the will of the Father? Jesus in John 6, if we turn to John 6, verse 37 to 40, says it very clear. In verse 37, "All the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." He was doing the will of the Father. "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise up again at the last day." And verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Doing the will of the Father. That should be our aim. Acknowledging God. People do all kinds of things to find the will of God. They try all kinds of things. Some think it's a feeling. Then this must be the will of God. Others rely on circumstances. Others will open their Bible and point to a verse and think that's God's will. But there's verses like, "And Judas went and hanged himself." I think we need to know God's will. Now, God can work through. When you open your Bible, he can show you a verse and give you direction that way. And he does, because that's why we open the Word of God. But not just at random. Or in Matthew 27, Pilate's wife, verse 17. Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this man," meaning Jesus. The key is knowledge. Verse 9, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is Paul's prayer for the Colossians. What a blessing when we know God's will and be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And how desperately we need to study the Word and to know his will. Verse 10, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're supposed to continue to increase. In 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5, it says that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. Then we are enriched. When we hear him, we gain knowledge in his word. Ephesians 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. Knowledge of God is important. Because I want us to listen to Hosea. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. there's a direct connection between God's word and God's will. Jesus asked the religious leaders in Matthew 19, verse 4, Matthew 12, have you not read? And today I'm going to ask you the question. If you don't understand God's will, have you not read the Word of God? Jesus was really saying, don't you know? Don't you understand? That is why we teach the Bible. And I feel for myself, I've fallen short in my life in studying God's Word. I think back going to Sunday school. Sunday school lessons were in German. And sometimes I feel I didn't understand and I missed some of the basic lessons. That's why we need to teach that people understand, that they can have the knowledge of God. So friends, today, pray for your friends. Pray for your pastors and families that they will know the will of God. Because when God's people know the will of God, that light, the church, will be shining brighter and brighter. Knowing the will of God is more than a feeling. It is having a deeper revelation of God's word. I remember years ago, and I thought it strange, but I've been thinking about it later, years ago. There was an older man, he said, most people wish people a Merry Christmas. But he wished them a deeper revelation of God's word. And you know, when God reveals himself and we see what God's word says and means, I've seen it on people's faces. Is that what it means? When there's a revelation, when you know God's will for your life, you will be blessed. God is not a distant God who doesn't show his will to you. He's our friend and he makes his will. In John 15:13-15, he makes his way known to you. He shares everything with you. Now the word filled is a key word in Paul's letter to the Colossians. The word carries the meaning of being fully equipped. The believer has in Christ all that he or she needs for a journey of life. In Colossians 2, verse 10, it says, and ye are complete in him, in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head. He is God. In John 1, verse 16, And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness, we as believers, we have received of his fullness, and grace for grace. Now, when we think of the word filled, it means controlled. Controlled by. When you are filled with anger, we're controlled by anger. When you're filled with jealousy, you're controlled by jealousy. But to be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So if we read verse 10 of our text, it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now walk worthy. Walk is a metaphor. It is a word picture. When you see somebody walking, it tells you a lot about their life. When somebody walks fast and they are heading someplace, it tells you they're on a mission. Maybe aggressive. When somebody walks slow and hesitant, it tells you something about that person. Here we are told to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord is a metaphor, a picture. It is a lifestyle, our daily conduct. Our soul has a walk. And I don't want us to misunderstand. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. They had heard the gospel, and now he's asking them, or he's praying for them, that they would walk worthy. And you know, that is our desire as pastors and as a church, that the congregation would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, years ago, we conference, we have five churches: Warman, Martinville, Blumenheim, Greental, and Rheinfeld. When I was in my teenage years, I always attended the Martinville church. Me and my wife, before we were married, that's where we would attend church. You know, my wife has told me later that she could always hear me walk into church. He would know, it's him. You and I, our soul, as a walk. God sees and people see. Are we walking worthy of the Lord? In the Old Testament, we read of Enoch, Noah. They walked with God. They had a life conformed to the will of God, living out what they knew about God and God's will. Are we walking with God? Those are questions that we need to answer. And we want to continue to pray. I know we would all say we fail many times, but we'll continue to pray this prayer for each other. You know, there's people, maybe groups of people, and I hate to say this, but sometimes they think of Bible study, maybe the church Bible study, and then all of a sudden you hear them make a comment like, oh, well, we have a different Bible study. We like to study the deeper things of God. I'm saying this for a purpose. Very often they will study a book or a person or some teaching or some prediction from a different person. And you know, it may not be wrong in itself, but sometimes people become proud and they will study and they will say, well, we understand Scripture better than others. But there's a verse in Scripture that says, Romans 1 verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I want to say this to that. You are wise when your life does what God's word says. When you walk what you know is God's will, then you understand the deeper things of God. we have a walk. And you can tell what people are by their walk. Verse 10, it says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord, and that is a tall order. God said, and it might mean, like a few verses I'm going to share, what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Be holy as I am holy. You have been forgiven, so forgive. Our walk should be worthy of the Lord. He's our example unto all pleasing, verse 10. Everything we do, we should ask the question, does this please God? You know, when I was young, and maybe even now, there's times when I make decisions and I don't use that filter, does this please God? But I trust that today we will be challenged. The relationship that you're in, does this please God? You want to buy something, does this please God? Our work, our activities, does this please God? I believe sometimes our life would look quite different. In marriage, we should ask, will this be good for my wife or my spouse? Will this be good for my children? As a pastor, we need to ask, is it good for the church? Will this please God? And we need to know the will of God. How desperately, and that's a very deep prayer that Paul prayed for the church. As a brother or a sister in the church, will this be good for the church? We need to ask ourselves those questions. Will this please God? Jesus said in John 8, verse 29, for I do always those things that please him. If we could say that. I always do those things that please the Lord. You know, in Matthew 3, verse 17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my well-beloved Son in whom I well pleased. Would be my prayer that we too would hear the words someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and I'm pleased with your life. When we live to please God, God is pleased with how you live your life. Far too often, I think we forget when we've been saved by grace, we forget about our walk. Being fruitful. The things that please God. You know, I think back as a parent and the responsibility that you have to teach your children. And that's each one of our desire to teach the children right. And you know, when they become older, maybe in their early teens, they will come to you and they'll ask you, hey, Mom and Dad, can I do this or can I do that? And you have taught them the Word of God. And there's something in them telling them, well, maybe this isn't such a good idea. But if Mom and Dad give the go-ahead, then it's okay. Because Mom and Dad have the final say. I think it's important that we tell our children, what do you think you should do? What would God want you to do? What would Jesus see? Teach them at a young age to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that God speaks to young children at a young age. Because of such is the kingdom of heaven. So they know. Sometimes they know what they're asking for is questionable. But we need to teach them to live in the will of God. We could then say, have you not read? Did we not teach you? We need to pray that they will know the will of God and pray that their lifestyle will be worthy of God. In verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Wow. They need to be, he's praying that they would be strengthened. They were persecuted in the world, and false teachers were making their way into the church. And Paul is praying against the attacks from the world and false teachers. And how the world is attacking the church today in such a subtle way, if we're sleeping, we don't even always see it. We've all experienced those things that the Christian life is a battleground. Ephesians 6, verse 11, says, put on the whole armor of God that ye will be able to stand against the wiles or the tricky strategies of the devil. He will come and he will try and destroy and deceive you. And he will say, just like he did to Eve, did God say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye will be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with truth, knowing the will of God, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I believe in my life, I can sense where living by faith, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Then if we go back to our text, it's such a blessing. That we will be strengthened with might according to the glorious power, God's glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, sometimes the things that we're in and going through seem like a real struggle, and we ask, how am I going to make it? But we're supposed to do it with joyfulness. Joyfulness. And then we're supposed to give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in light. We are going to be partakers of his inheritance, or are partakers, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Christ, we have everything. In verse 16 of Colossians 1, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Are we thankful that we have been delivered from the power of darkness? We can tell Satan, get behind us. Jesus has redeemed us, and we're living our life victoriously in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. We have been bought back through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That is my prayer today, that we have been challenged to pray for believers. Pray for churches, that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I pray for our church, that we will be able to walk worthy, that we will have a testimony worthy of God, unto all pleasing and fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then to recognize that he encourages us. May we be encouraged today that we have been delivered from the evil forces, from the power of darkness, by his glorious power, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That alone, you know, someday, brothers and sisters, for those of you who have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as their Redeemer, has redeemed us, it says, has redeemed us through his blood, has brought us back to God. Someday we will meet him in heaven. We will be face to face with him. And that should cause us today to be a thankful people and want to worship him and serve him and do those things that please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you for the amazing word. When we read it, and how it becomes new and fresh and blesses us every time. And so today, I want to pray for the church. We have many believers here, those that walk faithfully with you. But Lord, we don't want to underestimate. We know that we fail you sometimes, and we want to today say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, I pray that we will individually repent where we have failed you. We have not lived according to your will. We have not understood your will. Where you had to say to us, have you not read? Lord, I pray that this prayer will be our model prayer for our church, that we will be able to walk worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, we need to be strengthened. Sometimes we feel so weak. We hate to admit it, but you are okay with our weakness because you strengthen us with your might, according to your glorious power. Lord, I pray that you will go down the pews today. Each one of us is an individual, some older, some middle-aged, some younger. They're all a blessing to you. You look down from heaven with favor into this pew, into the pews, in this congregation, and wherever your people are worshiping today. Lord, I pray that you will meet individuals' needs and reveal yourself to them, that they will understand your will. Lord, we pray today for those that would love to be here and can't. Think of Brother George. is going through a trying time. Lord, I pray that you will just meet his needs and just comfort him through your Spirit. I think of Dave Clausen, the brother that I went to school with, also suffering with cancer. Lord, I pray that you will be very near to him. Reveal yourself to him, Lord, that he too will understand the will of God. Pray for Helen Froese, his sister, also dealing with health issues. And Lord, I just pray that you will uphold them with your right hand of righteousness, that they will be able to believe the promises of God, that you will never leave them or forsake them. Lord, I probably am missing some. Kathy Neeson. Lord, we pray that you will be very near to her. Pray that the Holy Spirit will comfort her, meet her needs, bless her. Lord, bless each one of us with the remembrance that we continue to pray, that we recognize we are dependent on God, that we look to you. We cannot do it on our own. Without you, we can do nothing. And so we thank you that it is by your grace and your mercy that we have been able to be here today again, meeting together and fellowshipping. Lord, I pray as a servant of God and trust that the word of God is like the rain. When it comes down, falls to the ground, it accomplishes that which you sent it for. I pray that you will have blessed your people through your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus, believing. Amen. Beautiful songs. Just a closer walk with thee. You know, we would walk with Jesus. Granted, Jesus is my plea. That's really the prayer that Paul had for the, that they would have a deeper understanding of God's will. Daily walking close to thee. That is our prayer for you. I want to say thank you to each one that has come. It's very important for you to be here on Sunday morning. It blesses those around you. It blesses the leadership. It's a good place to be built up in the Lord. That's where we find fellowship, courage, strength, and encouragement one from another. I want to encourage you to continue to come to the Lord's house with a thought, who can I encourage today? It is a blessing to see you all here. Thank you, song leaders, ushers, sound men, pianists, for being here and just blessing our heart that way with your presence. I want to encourage you, beloved, build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, giving yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Close with the benediction we find in Jude. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. May the peace of the Lord go with you as you depart.